today. Another freeze tonight. Overnight low temperature down to about 31. Increasing clouds tomorrow. Maybe some spotty rain possible in the afternoon, but a better chance on Thursday night. And then warmer by the upcoming weekend. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
From Alabama News Network, I'm Andrew James. Montgomery firefighters were called to three separate fires in just 1 hour last night. They happened on Calmar Drive, Thomas Avenue, and Forest Grove Drive between 6 and 7 o'clock. Fire investigators have not said if anyone was hurt or what caused these fires. Hundreds gathered Tuesday for the historic inauguration of Stephen Reed as mayor of Montgomery. Nine city council members were also sworn into office at the ceremony. Charles Jenright was named city council president. And Republican Charlotte Meadows wins the special election for House District 74. She had 68.9% of the vote against Democrat Rayford Mack. The special election was to fill the seat left vacant after Dimitri Palizos died earlier this year. Voter turnout was 7.81%. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers.
Hi, it's me, your nose. I'm so congested. Use the Vicks Cydex nasal spray, would you? Mouth breather. Yeah, the Vicks Cydex nasal spray starts working in seconds and lasts for up to 12 hours.
I can breathe again. Vicks Cydex nasal spray is incredible. I feel like a whole new nose. Let's buy a new car so we can smell it. We're really breathing now.
For nasal congestion relief, get Vicks Cydex and breathe freely fast. Use as directed.
This Thanksgiving, think outside the oven with a brand new grill from the Ace Thanks Grilling Event. This Saturday, November 16th from 11 to 2. Head to your local Ace for great deals, giveaways, and turkey grilling demos. Showcasing our top brands like Traeger, Weber, Big Green Egg, and more. Plus, get free assembly and delivery on grills $3.99 and up. Don't miss the Thanks Grilling Event. This Saturday from 11 to 2 at your local Ace. See participating stores for scheduling or exclusions. Free assembly and delivery for Ace Rewards members valid through December 24th.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
If you have a pool, you know about needing help with it from time to time. I have found that company for you, Fagan Pool Service. They're a Regal Chemical dealer. They've been in business over 40 years. Regal Chemicals are the very top of the line. This is family-owned, father-son duo. They handle all repairs such as pool liners, pumps, motors, filters, salt generators, leak detection, you name it. American run by two veterans, so you can trust they know the importance of hard work, dedication, and integrity.
Has your pool lost its fun? We keep you in the swim of things. Call 201-1819, 201-1819, Fagan Pool Service.
Many people here in the Montgomery area are looking for a new dentist. Some of you may have just moved into the area, or your dentist may be about to retire, or maybe it's just too hard to get an appointment with your dentist. The Dan Morris Show has a personal recommendation just for you. Dr. Dan Hudson of Bill Road Family Dentistry. He is a sole practitioner dentist with a heart for his patients. Maybe you need a checkup, or you may need to have crowns or cosmetic dentistry. Dr. Dan Hudson can handle your case. He is a complete dentist who has the latest and most up-to-date dental equipment. He can do crowns in just one appointment, saving you time and money. But the real secret of Dr. Dan Hudson's success is his staff. You'll love the staff of Bell Road Family Dentistry. You aren't just a patient number, but a part of the family of the Bell Road Family Dentistry practice. You'll love this former member of the Special Forces who is dedicated to your dental health. Call 395-6695 to set up a consultative appointment. Dr. Dan Hudson, Bell Road Family Dentistry, 395-6695. He will make your smile.
Trustworthy, accurate, immediate. Carrying your voice across the river region. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
A jaw-dropping 200 million people are staring into the face of a deadly winter-like blast, bringing bone-chilling temperatures and heavy snow to many places.
Public impeachment hearings get underway with two career diplomats testifying about the Ukraine call.
The Supreme Court says the families of Sandy Hook school shooting victims can sue a gun maker.
Disney Plus is currently experiencing very slow loading speeds, with many reporting waiting 30 minutes or more to load content.
The Supreme Court heard oral arguments whether the DACA program should stay or be ended by the Trump administration.
This is about people. This is about lives. And this administration is making this about politics.
America's largest milk producer, Dean Foods, is bankrupt. Company reps say it's because people are just drinking less of it these days.
Ricky Gervais will once again host the Golden Globes for what he says will be the fifth and last time, January 5th, 2020.
I guess all of us have had the experience of getting into a discussion and coming up with the right answer 2 hours later when we're all alone. I'll be right back. My award for someone who thought of the right answer while the discussion was still going on is a young man named Brad Lanaweaver, a member of Young Americans for Freedom at Pennsylvania State University. He has written of an encounter on the campus with a pretty young lady who believes socialism is the answer to our problems. His own philosophy was self-evident because he was wearing a button that proclaimed, "Cut down big government." With the cool breeze stirring her hair, she asked what Brad described as her ace-up-the-sleeve question. "Even you right-wingers don't want to starve. Wouldn't you like a guarantee that you won't ever go hungry?" Brad knew that if he admitted to this, she'd follow with, "So why not such a guarantee for shelter, medicine, and all the rest?" He paused, and then gave her the victory she was seeking, or so she thought. He said, "Sure, I'd like to lay my hands on everything I can get." "Oh," she said, "but the state is the closest you can come to such a guarantee." Brad described her as braced for a counterattack involving the magic of the market mechanism, but he threw another curve. "Sure," he said, "I grant that. There's something more. I'd like a guarantee of shelter and medical treatment and even some recreation." She must have thought she had a convert. A little shocked, she spoke, "But that's what we support. Why are you wearing that button?" She meant, of course, that cut-down big government button. Brad wasn't finished. He said to her, "I would also like a yacht." Somewhat defeated, she answered, "Well, if you're not going to be serious about it." "But I am," Brad said as earnestly as he could. "I would really and truly like a yacht. Also a seaside villa." "Look," she said sternly, "you know what I'm talking about. Sharing. I'm not interested in your greedy daydreams. I'm asking what everyone should have." "All right," Brad answered, "I understand. Let everyone have a yacht." "But how?" she asked lucidly with the first sign of a rational thought. "Don't bother me with that," he said. "There'll be a way, I'm sure. Just so everyone has a yacht. However, there is one more thing I would like." "What?" she asked. "Two yachts." Brad wrote that she looked rather unpleasant at that point, and he feared for his safety. Then she declared, "It's people like you who keep socialism from working." And Brad agreed. "Yes, quite right. Perhaps if people like me were put away somewhere, socialism would have a chance." By now, she was really glaring as she tried to think of an answer. Brad continued, "But there's still one problem. How many are there like me?" "Well, not as many as you think," she said, and walked away. And then Brad came up with a really appropriate last line. He wrote, "There she's wrong, and that's why she's a socialist." How right he is. Socialists ignore the side of man that is of the spirit. They can provide shelter, fill your belly with bacon and beans, treat you when you're ill, all the things that are guaranteed to a prisoner or a slave. They don't understand that we also dream. Yes, even of sometime owning a yacht. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Welcome aboard, everyone. This is 93.1 FM. Going to be a difficult show to do without headsets. Let me bring in Mr. Producer himself, the one and only Joey Clark.
Hello, hello, hello.
How are you doing today on this magnificent, beautiful, crystal clear blue sky day?
I'm doing great. Can you hear it all?
I cannot hear it all.
Okay, what we're going to have to do is plug into the other plug.
There was a button that you punched over there that all of a sudden it turned everything on.
I don't know about that. Because Rich was having, I think, issues this morning with that same very plug.
Rick was having a problem?
Or Rich Thomas.
Yeah. Oh, Rich was having a problem with it.
Yeah, so here, let me try to get you set up here. I mean, what's going on with this hearing? I kind of made the executive decision on News and Views. We played a little bit of Nunes' opening statement, but then we decided, this seems boring, and so we're just going to let it play out for now.
You did Nunes, you didn't do Schiff?
No.
Thank goodness. Women, too much upset stomachs around the world here. I tell you, the Taylor was very good on the cross-examination by answering the questions by the Democrats. Was not good on cross-examination from the Republicans. Hold on.
Technical problems, folks. Working on it.
Ah, much better. Still sound like I'm in a tin can, though. These are not high-quality headphones. But Taylor was, you know, that's their star witness, and he did a good job in his part when he was dealing with the Democrats. Then the Republican attorney took over questions, and he's, I mean, it was very well mapped out, and he was having some problems with that. I don't think I you made the comment of how boring it is. I think the tune-out factor is pretty high on this. I'd like to hear from the audience what they think about the tune-out factor here and see if they think it's worth anything. You can call me at 272-9228 and tell me. 46 degrees outside, crystal blue sky. Stock market is up, I think, still 49 points. Let me check that out. 67 points now. So going in the right direction. 272-9228. Any caller can get in on the Sweet Creek Farm Market gift basket. What's in that gift basket? $60 worth of goodies you put in there from Sweet Creek Farm Market. And then first-time caller's name will go in twice here. So it, I consider it the best giveaway in all of River Region. Let's pick up with Mark Meadows here. He's going to be talking about what to expect here on today's hearing.
North Carolina Congressman Mark Meadows. Here, this is a historic moment. The country is watching what will be the first public impeachment hearing. What is your expectations for what we will all see in that room this morning?
Well, I think the expectations have been set by my Democrat colleagues, which is they want to make sure that the rules are twisted to their favor. We're going to see that. We're going to see their two star witnesses today. Neither one of them have ever talked to the President of the United States. And so it's interesting how the American people are going to be able to judge this based on secondhand or third-hand information. The other thing that we're going to see, Senator, is this, is that the question still remains, why should we be sending American, hardworking American tax dollars to the Ukraine if they were corrupt? And why should Germany and France and Great Britain not pay their fair share? I think you'll see both of those things. The president was right to highlight it. And yet, when we look at this linkage between aid and some nefarious purpose, it's just not there. So you'll start to see that unfold. As much as my Democrat colleagues will want to push it out, they are not going to be able to present the case to the American people in a compelling way.
And that's exactly what the attorney did. He had some great moves in there. So he asked Ambassador Taylor, were you aware of the Ukraine's dislike of Donald Trump? And he goes, no. And so, well, were you aware that the U.S. ambassador to America from Ukraine came out and denounced the president? And he goes, no. Hmm. I'm going like, how do you as an ambassador of Ukraine not know that?
This is the ambassador sent from Ukraine to the United States.
And he never went in to find out what Donald Trump wanted in Ukraine. They asked him that and said, did you ever go and talk to the president or find out what the president thought about Ukraine and what to do with it and that kind of stuff? He did make a comment that that Trump made a statement on the campaign trail about Ukraine that he may want to give help work with Crimea going back to Russia type thing. And he said, and the Ukrainians were very upset with that. So he knows that, but he doesn't know other things. And so that didn't fit very well. Then the attorney for the Republicans said that, were you aware of the DNC, Democrat National Committee person going over to the Ukraine embassy and meeting with them about 2016? No. Okay, I mean, you know, what kind of, you know, when you normally pick up a portfolio for an ambassadorship and you read kind of the current history and then you get a briefing from the State Department Ukrainian briefer, the briefing on stuff, like when I would go to a foreign country, I get a State Department briefing and then a CIA briefing on that country. And he had to have that, particularly for this guy. Meticulous notes, West Point graduate, all that kind of stuff. So now let's go to the second part of Mark Meadows here. He's going to kind of lay this thing out the way it happened. And he's going to basically say the facts won't support impeachment.
Well, we know that the two witnesses that have arrived on Capitol Hill there this morning, George Kent and Bill Taylor, two public servants. Of course, Bill Taylor, a Vietnam vet. They have both spent their careers in public service. They have served, Bill Taylor in his case, multiple administrations, multiple presidents, both Democrat and Republican. One Democratic source told our own Chad Pergram on Capitol Hill, Congressman, that Democrats' tactic will be to let the witnesses tell their story. We need to facilitate and stay out of the way. Do you expect Republicans to do
so.
The same, Congressman?
I hope so, because when the facts come out, we will find that this is an empty bucket full of lots of innuendos, but real no facts that would suggest that impeachment is warranted. The other part of that we see, a question that will not get asked and answered today is, why are my Democrat colleagues assuming that their opinion is so much more valid than the voters who were set to vote on this very issue in less than 11 months. I mean, we're now looking at a partisan attack based on Democrats that I've been in every single deposition. I've listened to these witnesses, and I can tell you the facts will not support impeachment.
That's pretty bold for him to say that. And I will have to agree with that. Of what I saw of Taylor, there was a lot of innuendo, in my opinion. He had a staff person that overheard a telephone call from Sondland to Trump, where Trump was asking about the Ukraine doing what they're supposed to do, and he got a report back from that. But it's kind of that second, third, and fifth hand, you know, knowledge type thing, and that doesn't really go too well with this. They're doing it again. It looks like the Republican inquisitor, that's the attorney,
Mr. Castor, or something,
is doing a good job here. Let's continue on here with Mark Meadows, because he kind of lays this thing out. And he's basically, and I noticed this in the pieces I picked up last night, that the sham process, the not a fair process, are really hitting those buttons out there. Listen in.
Adam Schiff says lawmakers will evaluate whether facts show, quote, bribery, treason, high crimes, and misdemeanors. Adam Schiff wrote this memo to his colleagues. I want to throw it up on the screen here, Congressman. It is important to underscore that the House's impeachment inquiry and the committee will not serve as venues for any member to further the same sham investigations into the Bidens. He continues on. In this letter to colleagues, or into debunked conspiracies about 2016 U.S. election interference that President Trump pressed Ukraine to undertake for his personal political benefit. Want to get your reaction to that, Congressman?
Well, there's two things. I mean, it's almost laughable. We talk about a sham process. We've been involved with a sham process that Adam Schiff has been directing for the last 6 weeks. That's why your viewers are just now getting to hear from these witnesses, where we've heard behind closed doors. The second part of this is, any Adam Schiff narrative that would suggest that this is not a partisan attack is just not based on the facts. Why do we not get to call all our witnesses? Why does the White House not have counsel? If this is about a fair process, it would have been handled totally differently. And so the sham process that Adam Schiff is warning about really comes home to roost for him, because he's been conducting one for the last 6 weeks.
Very good. News on 93.1. Demo Show, we'll be back right after this.
The biggest and and baddest broadcast in all the land. Happy Hour with Greg Budell and Joey Clark. Afternoons 3 to 6 on the River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Hey, y'all, Lewis at the Capitol Oyster Bar. Y'all, we're right down here on this beautiful Alabama River. If you had never been down here, we're easy to get to right off of I-65. You're going to take the North Boulevard exit and then take the first exit. That's Louisville Street. Bottom of the ramp, turn right, and turn right. That's three times. Go to the end of the road, and you'll find us at the river. You'll also find our RV park. That's right. We've opened up an RV resort down here on the river. You can bring your pontoon boat down here, or your fishing boat down here. Stay in your camper and have a big time on the river. And we're going to feed you some good food. We got a steamer, a fryer, and a grill. We do everything out of the Gulf. Anything fresh that's coming in this week is what you'll be eating this week. So we also, every Sunday at 5 o'clock, bringing you live entertainment. This week, Harper's in town. That's right. This guy's literally played all over the world. He's from Australia. He's won blues music awards in five different countries. And he'll be here Sunday afternoon at 5 o'clock. Harmonica player, singer, songwriter, and play that old didgeridoo. That's right. Come out and check it out. CapitalOysterBar.com. You'll see what's going on. Get down here soon and come hungry.
This is Sarah.
Hi, I'm Sarah.
Sarah was looking for a job, but wanted to stay local.
That's right.
First, she built a giant satellite, then launched it into space to send a signal transmitting her resume. This did not lend Sarah a job, but it did start a war with the Zarkon Nebula.
I went too far.
Yes, Sarah went too far. But you don't have to go too far to go far. Montgomery area helpwanted.com only posts local jobs, so employers are way more likely to respond to your application and offer you a job. Montgomery area helpwanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Diamond Tyler with Blue Water Broadcasting. We are continuing our annual holiday food drive today. So to benefit the Montgomery Area Food Bank, of course, no family should have to go to bed or without food this holiday season. And we need you to help us lend a hand. So here's what you can do. I will be out here until 1 p.m. at Brown Tire and Automotive on Ashburton Drive. We want you to bring out your non-perishable food donations, your canned goods, your dry foods, because we definitely have to make sure that no family in the River Region goes without food this holiday season. So once again, I am out here until 1 p.m. at the Brown Tire and Automotive on Ashburton Drive. You'll see the big barrels and the big van we've got out here for you to come on and drop that off. So if you can, make some time to come out and see us today. I am Diamond Tyler with Blue Water Broadcasting.
All the headlines the mainstream media won't touch. Your News Talk station. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
The Dan Morris Show.
272-9228, that's where we are. Need to take some of this. This is getting kind of interesting the way they're going down this path there. So let's finish up with this and then we'll kind of see how it sounds. Let's finish up with Mark Meadows on Taylor as a witness, and he's the guy that's up here right now.
Well, we are about to hear from these witnesses themselves, and Democrats have also told Fox News that Taylor, one of the witnesses we should see shortly, had, quote, the best view of this scheme, was the word. He is a habitual note taker. He is your worst nightmare, very prepared. When you look at the testimony of Taylor, he said irregular policy channels were running contrary to longstanding goals of U.S. policy. Congressman, you know that the first couple hours of this hearing are going to be crucial in the minds of the American people who are getting their first look at the questioning of these witnesses.
Yeah, you're right. But, you know, if this is their best witness, I can tell you the best witness would be actually Secretary Pompeo, Mike Pence, the Vice President of the United States. Every time they met with President Zelensky, nothing happened. And yet this note taker, here's the other question we have. If he is so concerned about the President of the United States, why is he still working for the President of the United States? If he has a problem with that, you know, I would say that he wouldn't still be employed. In fact, just the opposite. What we had from testimony was that not only did he raise concerns that you hear about today, but those concerns were addressed and alleviated. That's why he continues to serve in his post, and that's why at the end of the day, you will start to see there is nothing here. You know, why are we not working on lowering prescription drug prices today? We're spending millions of dollars and hours of time when we could really do things that affect the American people, and sadly, we're not doing
it. Meadows was going to hear. We're trying to pull up the hearing, and you may want to back it up just a little bit. Castro for the Republican Inquisitor is doing a really good job with Taylor now.
I didn't try to wrest control of the irregular channel. Do that at the time when I.
Well, why not though? If you
because,
have these concerns.
Because Ms. Castro, at the time, as Ambassador Kent, no, Deputy Assistant Secretary Kent testified. Both channels were interested in having a meeting between President Zelensky and President Trump. So there's no reason to kind of wrest control if we're going in the same direction.
But at some point, you developed concerns. I mean, your opening statement is here. I mean, you're the impeachment witness number one, and you're number two, Mr. Kent. You know, for the case impeaching the President of the United States because of the concerns you've testified about the irregular channel, correct?
I was concerned when the irregular channel appeared to be going against the irregular channel was going against the overall direction of and purpose of the regular channel.
So, and I understand the record, however, you when you arrived in Ukraine, you had the support of the secretary and the secretary's top advisor, Chancellor Ulrich Brechbuhl, correct?
That is correct.
And they assured you that if you had any concerns, you would be able to contact them and they would have your back.
That is correct.
And you knew going in that the Rudy Giuliani element presented some complexities, correct?
I was concerned about Rudy Giuliani's statements and involvement in the Ukraine policy, yes.
Okay. So when it genuinely became, you know, a concern for you, what did you do to either engage Sondland and Volker and Perry, Giuliani? By the way, have you ever met Rudy Giuliani during these times relevant?
Not during the times relevant. Mr. Giuliani visited Ukraine one time when I was there, I think in 2007 or 8.
Okay.
That's the only time I've met him.
Okay. So you've never had any communications with Rudy Giuliani as part of these irregular channel business?
That's correct. That's correct.
Okay. And anyway, getting back to my question, did you try to engage Brechbuhl or the secretary during this time period? I know you said that you had, I believe, an August 21st or 22nd telephone call with Brechbuhl. You had a July 10th telephone call with Brechbuhl, and then you sent a first-person cable to the secretary on August 29th.
That's correct.
Is that sort of the universe of initiatives you took inside the State Department to raise your concerns about the irregular channel?
I also raised my concerns with Deputy Assistant Secretary George Kent. In particular, early on when I think I may have mentioned this phone call that was odd in that it did not include the normal staff, indeed, Ambassador Sondland's staff, and that struck me as unusual. I consulted with Mr. Kent, and at his suggestion, made a note of this, and also had, I think at that point, I had a conversation with Mr. Brechbuhl.
That was a June 28th call, I believe?
That's correct.
And in your opening statement, you expressed some concerns about what Ambassador Sondland had said, but then once Zelensky got on the phone, it proceeded in a very regular channel way, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So the June 28th call, at least in and of itself, didn't ultimately, as it played out, present any problems for you?
The call with President Zelensky did not. The preparation for that call, the preparation included maybe 15 minutes of just the United, just the Americans that would stay on the call.
Right.
And that, again, that was a little irregular in that it didn't have the staff. It was also in that pre-call, in that 15 minutes before President Zelensky got on the phone, where Ambassador Volker told the rest of the participants that he was planning to have a conversation with President Zelensky in Toronto in 3 days, 4 days, where he would outline for President Zelensky the important components of the phone call that we were trying to establish.
Okay. And you didn't have any issue with that, did you?
The only issue I had with that, Mr. Kastner, was there was reference to investigations in, I believe that's, I'll have to check my notes on that, but there was raised issues for me that I didn't understand what Ambassador Volker had in mind that he was specifically going to raise with Mr. Zelensky. That was a little bit of a concern.
Okay. I mean, the president's expressed his, you know, interest in certain investigations, certainly relating to the 2016 election and relating to, you know, this corrupt Burisma outfit. So that wasn't inconsistent with the president's message, right?
I'm not sure, Mr. Kastner. Maybe can I ask you to repeat the question?
The president's concerns about the 2016 election and needing to get to the bottom of it, and the president's concerns, is it ultimately related to the Burisma company? I mean, if Ambassador Volker is raising that with Zelensky, that's consistent with the direction of the president, correct?
The president's interest, or I would say Mr. Giuliani's interest, because that's what we were, that's what was very clear at the time.
Right.
Mr. Giuliani's interest in pursuing these investigations was of concern, but...
By the way, do you know how many times Volker met with Giuliani?
I don't.
How many would you guess? Is it, like, was he talking to him all the time or meeting with him all the time?
Mr. Kessler, I don't know.
Okay. From his, his deposition, he told us just once. And, you know, he texted back and forth with the mayor, and it had a call or two, but it wasn't a pervasive engagement for Ambassador Volker. Were you aware of that?
I was not aware. I was aware of one breakfast, I think, but that's the only one that I was aware of.
And Mr. Kent, before my time expires, I want to circle back to the company of Burisma. And you testified at your deposition that there was an instance where USAID had engaged with Burisma and possibly sponsoring a program, and you took issue with that and recommended the USAID to pull back from that. Could you tell us about that?
So I became aware in the summer, I believe, of 2016 that as a part of what I recall was a clean energy awareness campaign, the part of the USAID mission that worked on economics and governance, including energy, had sponsored some sort of contest for young Ukrainians to come up with a theme, and there was a prize. I believe it may have been a camera. And they had co-sponsored, and with public-private partnership being a buzzword, having a co-sponsorship with Burisma. Given the past history of our interest in recovering stolen assets from Zlochevsky, it was my view that it was inappropriate for the embassy to be co-sponsoring a contest with Burisma. I raised that with the mission director at the embassy. She agreed, and the USAID mission kept the contest but dropped the public-private partnership sponsorship.
The time of the gentleman has expired. We'll now.
Anyways, let's go to a break. Dan Morris Show will be back right after this. Did you see that smile on Jim Jordan's face?
Yes.
Listening to The Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Hot me, you. But whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Hey, Tammy, let me tell you about how to bring in those big deer.
Randy, I know how to attract the big bucks.
Aha, very funny. At Prattville Farm Center, we've been helping hunters be successful for over 35 years.
We have the products, supplies, and knowledge you need to get those big bucks.
That's right, Tammy. We don't believe in gimmicks or magic seed. We just believe in sound planting practices that work.
So come see us today at 1154 South Memorial Drive in Prattville.
Now that we're done talking about those big bucks, how about those cute does?
Hi, this is Danny with High Caliber Gun and Fun. November, we'll be celebrating 10 years doing business in the River Region, and Blue Water Broadcasting has been an integral part of that 10 years. High Caliber Gun and Fun, we say we are a step above the rest, and Blue Water Broadcasting definitely is that step.
Call us at Blue Water Broadcasting and find out how we can help grow your business. Blue Water Broadcasting, local folks helping local business.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Chris Foster. Acting Ambassador to Ukraine Bill Taylor tells the House Intelligence Committee looking into President Trump's impeachment that a staff member overheard President Trump on the phone with European Union Ambassador Bill Sondland. This was the day after his call with Ukraine's president in July that led to the impeachment inquiry. Committee Chairman Adam Schiff asks Ambassador Taylor.
And what your staff member could overhear was President Trump asking Ambassador Sondland about, quote, the investigations. Is that right?
That's correct.
Investigations into Joe Biden and accusations of 2016 election meddling by Ukraine, not Russia. Today's other witness, George Kent, a career diplomat, says America must support Ukraine because too much is at stake.
Not just for Ukraine and the future of European security, but for the national interests of the United States, broadly defined.
A White House spokeswoman says President Trump is not watching today's hearing. America's listening to Fox News.
Rich Thomas Weather, a service of Wiley Sanders Trucking, one of the nation's largest truck lines. They need drivers right now. If you want to know what your home time and your paycheck is going to be every week, call Wiley Sanders right now. Family owned and operated. 855-777-9785.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. Our little taste of the Arctic, call it a winter preview, continues today. After a frigid start to the day, we may recover to maybe low to mid-50s for a high temperature. If we're lucky, sunshine, not quite as windy today. Another freeze tonight, overnight low temperature down to about 31. Increasing clouds tomorrow, maybe some spotty rain possible in the afternoon, but a better chance on Thursday night, and then warmer by the upcoming weekend. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Your News Talk place to be. The Dan Morris Show, noon till 3. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Yes. 272-922-A, that's where we are. We're going to get back. We have Nunes and Jim Jordan up to bat here. Let's go to Red Top. Red Top, welcome aboard to the Dan Morris Show.
And I'm listening. This is pitiful, guys. This is pitiful. And it's weaker than anything else they've done so far. I'm ecstatic, but I'm disappointed that they wasted the American people's time.
So do you think they pumped this up too much and they're under delivering?
Duh. God, a dumb dog could figure that out. And, you know, a lot of dogs are smarter than these people up there. So this is, you know, we talk about abuse, all kinds of abuse all the time. Well, damn it, this is citizen abuse. This is 3 years of citizen abuse. All of us are damn tired of it, Republicans and Democrats. Just before I started talking, I'm listening to the questioning of this gentleman. He's weak, and his deposition and his testimony do not match.
And this is their strongest witness, too.
Yes. The man don't know a damn thing. And this is all a matter of disagreement. None of these people wanted to do what our elected administration wanted to do. Basically, they were just going to go beside him and do something else whenever. He found a way to sidestep these guys like he's done with the rest of the government. They didn't like it.
Yeah, that's exactly it. That is the argument, is that, and the attorney almost had him there when he said the normal path, and then the guy kind of got back to the Rudy Giuliani path. You know, I hate to tell him the president can do whatever the heck he wants to.
Yeah,
and if he wants to send somebody over there, he can do that. We did that all the time.
Normal path, irregular path. Good God, this is a hearing on impeachment of the president. We're talking about normal and irregular path. Golly Moses, you think they're talking about constipation?
Boy, Red Top, you're loaded today, buddy.
And on a very inspiring note, let me drop sideways if I can and give kudos to the state of Alabama. On nightly business report last night, there was at least a 7-minute report on Huntsville. And this is about to become the most important city in the United States. Jeff Bezos has now bought the old NASA Saturn rocket testing site to test his own rockets with.
All right.
The FBI is building and expanding an existing facility at Redstone Arsenal. That gentleman has moved up there with his RV or ATV factory to build cross-country vehicles for the military. There's special pharmaceutical companies and polymer companies going up there, and they said it's because Huntsville has a 50-year legacy of engineering and science up there. All those NASA guys still live up there, and they're still waiting to go to the moon, and they're finally happy it's still going to happen. So that was the longest report I've heard on any segment in a long time, and it was all about Huntsville, Alabama. I felt very proud.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you, my son's up there, and he said it's blowing and going.
And they start teaching STEM in elementary school in Huntsville and have ever since the last moon landing. So they have a legacy, and they have engineering DNA in those people up there. We could learn a whole lot out of our school system from them, don't you think?
Well, you got to remember that that's not what Huntsville is doing. Huntsville, a long time ago, they, because of our Democratic senators, Alan Sparkman, they got the NASA Redstone Arsenal and Von Braun to Huntsville because of their because of their seniority and their authority. So they got there, and then the city of Huntsville, when you go and get look at the history of it, it was just basically a gigantic cotton field out there. And so they started building Redstone Arsenal, and then the city of Huntsville came up with the center that's there for the incubation center that they did for companies. And they have some of the biggest companies around that are based there now. It's amazing.
Oh, yes. And people are moving in like mad because this new space program that Donald Trump has initiated is an expended one. We're talking 20 years, at least 10 years on the moon, and then another 10 on Mars after that, and they've already allocated most of the money, and it's going to happen.
Yeah, but the thing is, that's not what's driving Huntsville now. The private sector and doing these commercial launches, the military factor and all that, those are your drivers, and then the general technology, because they have to really do really well with a rocket, you have to have really, really good communications and computer power.
Yes, and it's the it may be the finest collection of rocket scientists in the world up there right now, because again, we're going back to the moon, and we're still the only population in that has ever done that in the history of this planet. So we're way ahead of everybody else.
Oh yeah, we're way ahead. But again, that's not what's driving the Huntsville. It's not a moon launch that's doing it like it did during the Apollo and the Mercury days.
Well, I don't know if I agree with that, because that $4.6 billion is quite a big hefty bunch, and people are fired up now. They have a point of inspiration, and so it is going to help bring it all together. And I still think that's the most important thing we can do is space travel. That's our next step in evolution. And for all you people that believe in the end of the world, where in the world are we going to go, right? Roll Tide, go Trump. Thanks,
Red Top. Let's pick back up with Nunes here.
Doesn't even like, he doesn't want to give foreign aid to have the Ukrainians start an investigation into Biden's. With that, I yield to Mr. Jordan.
Thank the gentleman for yielding. Ambassador Taylor, thank you for being here. AIDS held up on July 18th, is that right?
That's when I first heard about it, Mr.
And then it's released, Ambassador Taylor, on September 11th. And we know that from your deposition, in those 55 days that aid is delayed, you met with President Zelensky three times. The first one was July 26th, the day after the famous call now between President Trump and President Zelensky. President Zelensky meets with you, Ambassador Volker, and Ambassador Sondland. And again, according to your deposition and your testimony, there was no linkage of security assistance dollars to investigating Burisma or the Bidens. Second meeting is August 27th. Again, in this 55-day time frame, second meeting is August 27th. President Zelensky meets with you and Ambassador Bolton and others. And again, there's no linkage of dollars, security assistance dollars, to an investigation of the Bidens. Then, of course, the third meeting is September 5th. President Zelensky meets with you and Senators Johnson and Murphy. And once again, there was no linkage of security assistance dollars to an investigation of Burisma or the Bidens. Three meetings with the president of Ukraine, the new president, and no linkage. That's accurate?
Ms. Jordan, it's certainly accurate on the first two meetings, because to my knowledge, the Ukrainians were not aware of the hold on assistance until the 29th of August.
So the Politico article.
The third meeting that you mentioned with the senators, yep, Murphy and Senator Johnson, there was discussion of the security assistance, but
no linkage.
But there was not discussion of linkage.
Three meetings face to face with President Zelensky, no linkage. Yet in your deposition, you said this, and you said it again the first hour of the majority. My clear understanding was security assistance money would not come until President Zelensky committed to pursue the investigation. My clear understanding was they weren't going to get the money until President Zelensky committed to pursue the investigations. Now, with all due respect, Ambassador, your clear understanding was obviously wrong, because it didn't happen. President Zelensky didn't announce he was going to investigate Burisma or the Bidens. He didn't do a press conference and say, I'm going to investigate the Bidens, we're going to investigate Burisma. He didn't tweet about it, and you just told the ranking member he didn't do the CNN interview and announce he's going to investigate Burisma or the Bidens. So three face-to-face meetings, it doesn't come up, no linkage whatsoever. President Zelensky doesn't announce it before the aid is released on the 11th. And yet you said you have a clear understanding that those two things were going to happen. The money was going to get released, but not until there was an investigation, and that, in fact, didn't happen. So what I'm wondering is, where did you get this clear understanding?
As I testified, Mr. Jordan, this came from Ambassador Sondland.
Well, can you hold 1 second, Ambassador? I'm going to bring you a piece of paper from Ambassador Sondland's statement.
Very good.
And you can take a look at this. Go ahead, though. I want to let you finish.
So, Mr. Jordan, should I read this, or?
I just want you to have it, because I'm going to read it.
Oh, very good, very good. Very
yeah,
good.
But I want you to go ahead and finish. You said, Ambassador, you got this from Ambassador Sondland.
That is correct. Ambassador Sondland also said that he talked to President Zelensky and Mr. Yermak and had told them that although this was not a quid pro quo, if President Zelensky did not clear things up in public, we would be at a stalemate. That was one point. It was also the case.
Mr. Morrison talked to you, right?
No. What I was going to say is Ambassador Sondland also told me that he recognized that it was a mistake to have told the Ukrainians that only the meeting with the president in the Oval Office was held up on the in order to get these investigations. No, it was not just the meeting; it was also the security system. That is, everything was. So those two discussions.
No, I understand.
Okay.
All right. So again, just to recap, you had three meetings with President Zelensky. No linkage in those three meetings came up. Ambassador Zelensky didn't announce that he was going to do any investigation of the Bidens or Burismas before the aid was released. He didn't do a tweet, didn't do anything on CNN, didn't do any of that. President Zelensky, excuse me.
Right.
And then what you have in front of you is an addendum that Mr. Sondland made to his testimony that we got a couple weeks ago. It says, Declaration of Ambassador Gordon Sondland, I, Gordon Sondland, do hereby swear and affirm as follows. I want you to look at point number two, bullet point number two, second sentence. Ambassador Taylor recalls that Mr. Morrison told Ambassador Taylor that I told Mr. Morrison that I conveyed this message to Mr. Yarmak on September 1st, 2019, in connection with Vice President Pence's visit to Warsaw and a meeting with President Zelensky. Now, this is his clarification. Let me read it one more time. Ambassador Taylor recalls that Mr. Morrison told Ambassador Taylor that I told Mr. Morrison that I conveyed this message to Mr. Yarmak on September 1st, 2019, in connection with Vice President Pence's visit to Warsaw and a meeting with President Zelensky. We got six people having four conversations in one sentence, and you just told me this is where you got your clear understanding. Which, I mean, even though you had three opportunities with President Zelensky for him to tell you, you know what? We're going to do these investigations to get the aid. Didn't tell you three different times. Never makes an announcement. Never tweets about it. Never does a CNN interview. Ambassador, you weren't on the call, were you? The president, you didn't listen on President Trump's call and President Zelensky's call?
I did not.
You've never talked with Chief of Staff Mulvaney?
I never did.
You never met the president?
That's correct.
You had three meetings again with Zelensky and it didn't come up.
And two of those they had never heard about as far as I know.
And President
there was
Zelensky,
no reason for
and
it
President
to come
Zelensky
up.
Never made an announcement. This is what I can't believe. And you're their star witness. You're their first witness. You're
Jordan.
The guy. You're the guy based on this. Based on, I mean, I've seen
smack.
I've seen church prayer chains that are easier to understand than this. Ambassador Taylor recalls that Mr. Morrison told, now again, this is, I hereby swear and affirm from Gordon Sondland. Ambassador Taylor recalls that Mr. Morrison told Ambassador Taylor that I told Mr. Morrison that I conveyed this message to Mr. Yarmak on September 1st, 20. This all happens, by the way. This all happens, by the way, in Warsaw, where Vice President Pence meets with President Zelensky. And guess what?
Taylor,
they didn't talk about any linkage either.
Time of the gentleman's expired. Ambassador Taylor, would you like to respond?
The only response, I have two responses, Mr. Chairman, thank you, and Mr. Jordan. Glad to take those questions. Let me just say that I don't consider myself a star witness for anything.
They do.
I'm responding to your question. I think I was clear.
Jim Jordan is going to, you know what,
one
going
side
in his
or
face.
The other, or to advocate any particular outcome. So let me just restate that. Second thing is that my understanding is only coming from people that I talk to.
We got that.
I think this clarification from Ambassador Sondland was because he said he didn't remember this in his first deposition. So he wanted to kind of clarify. But I think, Mr. Jordan, the way I read this, he remembers it the same way I do.
Yeah, and it's real clear, right?
It's very clear.
Thank you, Ambassador Taylor. Mr. Himes, you're recognized for 5 minutes.
Gentlemen, thank you.
Let's go to a break. That was outstanding. I tell you what, if Trump is watching this, Trump is just doubled over laughing, and he is going to give Jim Jordan a big data boy. Going to be back right after this.
News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
Hi, I'm Tiffany Coleman. My husband, Jeff Coleman, is running for U.S. Congress. I bet you've seen Jeff's name and face on billboards and on the sides of moving trucks parked all over the district. Because when Jeff decides to do something, he does it big. And if you look really hard, you'll see my picture, our three girls, and our dog, Gracie, too. What I really wanted to talk to you about is Jeff, his background, and why he'd make such an incredible congressman. But I guess that'll have to wait, because they're telling me I'm out of time. But I'll be back here soon to tell you more about my husband, Jeff Coleman.
I'm Jeff Coleman, the conservative businessman candidate for U.S. Congress, and I approve this message, paid for by Jeff Coleman for Congress.
We get Montgomery talking 24 hours a day. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Now back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
That's where we are on a Wednesday. Jim Jordan was spectacular, folks. Now what we're going to do is we're going to roll over to John Ratcliffe, and we're going to take as much of him as we can. Then we'll try to hold him and bring him back after the first part of the second hour.
If nobody in the Ukrainian government is aware of a military hold at the time of the Trump-Zelensky call, then as a matter of law and as a matter of fact, there can be no quid pro quo based on military aid. And to your knowledge, nobody in the Ukrainian government was aware of the hold. Your answer was that is correct. Is that still your testimony?
Mr. Ratcliffe, at some point in September...
I'm talking about on July 25th.
July 25th. Sorry. Yes, that's correct. That's correct. They did not know this.
All right. And as it turns out, President Zelensky agreed with you. On October 10th, President Zelensky held a press marathon with over 300 reporters where he said repeatedly and consistently over hours and hours that he was not aware of a military hold during the July 25th call. In fact, in his official press release from the Ukrainian government available on his website that I'll be introducing into the record, he said, "Our phone conversation bears no relations to arms. They blocked the provision of military assistance prior to our telephone conversation, but the issue had not been discussed during our conversation. I didn't even know." So now, in addition to confirming that because he had no knowledge of it, there was no quid pro quo involving military aid during that call, President Zelensky went on to confirm a number of things: that there was no pressure, that there were no conditions, that there were no threats on military aid. There were no conditions or pressure to investigate Burisma or the 2016 election, that there was no blackmail, that there was no corruption of any kind during the July 25th call. Again, from his official press release. "Therefore, there was no blackmail because it was not the subject of our conversation with the President of the United States. There were no conditions on the investigation, either because of arms or the situation around Burisma Company." He told Reuters there was no blackmail. He told the LA Times there was no pressure or blackmail from the United States. He told Japan's Kyoto News, "I was never pressured and there were no conditions being imposed." He told ABC News and the BBC, "I'm against corruption. This is not corruption. It was just a call." The Ukrainian president stood in front of the world press and repeatedly, consistently, over and over again, interview after interview, said he had no knowledge of military aid being withheld, meaning no quid pro quo, no pressure, no demands, no threats, no blackmail, nothing corrupt. And unlike the first 45 minutes that we heard from the Democrats today, that's not secondhand information. It's not hearsay. It's not what someone overheard Ambassador Sondland say. That was his direct testimony. Ambassador Taylor, do you have any evidence to assert that President Zelensky was lying to the world press when he said those things?
Great question.
Yes or no?
Mr. Ratcliffe, if I can respond.
My time is short.
Your time
is short. Yes or
no? That's right. I have no reason to doubt what the president said.